In the name of Jesus,
amen.
As a consequence, if you will, of our fallen, sinful human nature, we all want to be important, needed, if you will, an indispensable cog in the wheel. We want to be necessary. Pastors and perhaps seminary professors are especially susceptible to this, because, you know, without us, everything is sure to fall apart. Necessity means job security, right? Well, Martin Luther was a man who had a profound sense of his own non-security, or non-necessity, if you will. He once remarked this: "While I drink my little glass of Wittenberg beer, the gospel runs its course." Now, that's the way a free man talks. He can preach the word, then cheerfully step down from the pulpit, take off his robes, and have a glass of Wittenberg beer, confident that the word is at work, doing its killing and making alive thing. He doesn't need to be constantly busy. In fact, busy wouldn't have been one of those words that you would use to describe Martin Luther. Now, of course, he had a lot to do, but he trusted the word to do its work. And so he could pray for hours a day, even when there was much work to do, and have his little glass of Wittenberg beer in peace. I'm afraid that the church today has lost much of that kind of confidence. We're busier than ever, working harder than ever, running around more than ever. Even when we have our little glass of Wittenberg beer, it's with a beeper on our belt and a cell phone close at hand. Management by crisis. Just like in the government, everything seems to be a crisis in the church today. We have a crisis in missions, a crisis in catechesis, in rural churches, in city churches, in youth. One crisis after another, as the church runs from one gimmick to the next, one slogan to the next, one program to the next. There are also the continual barrages of to extend the kingdom, to grow the kingdom, to further the kingdom, call it what you will. And in all of our busyness of kingdom building, we've forgotten what Luther taught us in his explanation of the petition, "Thy kingdom come," that the kingdom of God comes indeed in and of itself without our prayers, but we pray in this petition that it may come among us also. That's the point. That's the point of the parable of the seed that grow secretly. The sower sows his seed in the earth. And in Jesus' day, that didn't take much training. We're not talking soil science here. Just take some seed and scatter it on the ground. The sower doesn't even really care all that much where it lands, if the parable of the four kinds of soil is any indicator. Good soil, rocks, weeds, hard pack, whatever. He then goes, that sower goes about his day-to-day routine. He sleeps, he rises, he goes to the store, he makes music with his friends, he fixes dinner, he has that little glass of Wittenberg beer, if he's Lutheran. And all the while, the seed sown in the earth sprouts and it grows. And the sower doesn't have a clue as to how it works. It happens automatically. Automatically, without any poking or prodding on the part of the sower, the ground with seed in it produces fruit. First the blade, then the ear, then the kernel of grain, and when the grain is ripe, the harvest. All of it happens automatically. Well, that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. Let Jesus do his work, and he does just fine, automatically. He is the Word, the seed sown in the earth. He is the kernel of wheat who dies and is buried, but who then rises and bears much fruit. The whole earth, in fact, rises from the dead in the power of his one little resurrection. With Jesus' resurrection comes a harvest of the new creation, and no one is really quite sure exactly how it happens. It just does, automatically. So the crucified and risen Jesus in any old world, this world full of losers and deadbeats and plain old sinners, and let him do his work. He works just fine. So the dead and risen Jesus in any old heart, and again, he works just fine. He forgives sinners. He raises the dead. You see, your anxiety and your worry and your busyness really add nothing to what Jesus does. They just take the joy out of being a part of it. The Word works automatically. All you have to do is sow it, which hardly requires an advanced degree, in agricultural science or evangelism science, if you will. And I'm afraid we've pretty much lost the joy in that, too. We've turned the simple task of speaking the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection into something that can only be done by highly trained, paid professionals, backed with the latest tools and equipped with years of research and development. But you don't need a seminary degree to say to another person, God is at peace with you in the death of Jesus. Your life is in Jesus. Now, trust him. Let yourself be baptized into him. Live off of him. Worship him. Anyone can say that. Even the smallest child armed with the Apostles' Creed has more than enough know-how to sow that seed of the kingdom, because you don't have to know how it works. You just have to know that it works, and then trust that it works automatically. Part of our problem, I believe, is the reason that we're always tinkering and meddling in these things is that we so often trust our eyes and not our ears. We're impressed with big buildings and large crowds and a good show. We start to think that the reign of God can be measured in the same way that we measure business or celebrities. Success is a sign of God's acceptance and approval. Successful churches are growing churches, as though all growth were necessarily good. But cancer and crabgrass also grow, often uncontrolled. And so the issue is whether the growth is a healthy growth from the good seed of Jesus or a Christian cancer that might be growing out of control. But then again, this parable isn't really about the growth of the kingdom, but about how small and insignificant God's reign appears to be. It's not about growing churches and adding to the kingdom's numbers, but how God reveals himself in the small, the hidden, the weak, the insignificant. The crowning moment for the king of this kingdom was a cross. And with the exception of a handful of followers, and most of them from the lower rungs of society, the world barely took notice of that very good Friday, when Jesus hung in the darkness between noon and three. But in that mustard seed-sized death is the death of all and the life of the entire world, the entire forgiveness of every sin, the resurrection of all the dead, the reconciliation of the world to God. Now, you wouldn't have known it by looking at Jesus on the cross. No, you can only trust it. As St. Paul reminds us, what is seen is temporal. What is unseen is eternal. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. A kingdom the size of a mustard seed is all that you and I have been given to see God's reign. And signs of the kingdom are just as small. Holy baptism, not much to look at, but it's the washing of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit and in the death of Christ. The word of forgiveness, again, not much to look at, but it's genuine. 24 carat, 200 proof, 100% forgiveness spoken personally to you. The Lord's Supper, not much to look at there either. But there's the body and blood, Jesus. The body and blood of Christ and his sacrificial death by which you and I now live. The power of his death and resurrection in your mouth. How easy it is to overlook these things. They're the size of mustard seeds in a world that barely notices such little things. And yet here is the power of God to salvation. Here is the power of Jesus to forgive your sin and to raise you from the dead. Here is the kingdom that begins like a tiny little mustard seed, one with just a lonely death on a cross as its beginning, and ends with the tree of life, a tree big enough to embrace the entire world. That's the powerful little seed that God has put into your hands to sow. Scatter it recklessly. Tell the good news of Jesus. Sow it with joy, free from all the anxiety and worry about whether there's success or failure. And then, like the sower at the end of his day, relax. Turn off the beeper and bury the cell phone in a sock drawer and enjoy that little glass of Wittenberg beer, knowing that the hidden word of Jesus is always at work, automatically. In Jesus' name, amen.